ध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनपतिं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् शङ्करादिगुरुं प्रणम्य आरभते अनुशासनम् लभते मोक्षं यस्य मतिः रमते निर्गुणब्रह्मणि अहं सदा ब्रह्मैव एतदनुसन्धानम् अपरोक्षानुभव सन्दायकम् अचिरात्। So some time back we had seen the Yoga Sutras, some part of the Yoga Sutras, and of which the first few sutras, the 11 sutras, were missing. So we'll try to cover it in a couple of sessions. So Yoga Sutra, this is from Vedantic perspective. So there is a commentary of Sadashiva Brahmendra called Yoga Sudhakaram, which is a kind of a very simple commentary. Sadashiva Brahmendra is not talking from Vedantic perspective, but still it comes like kind of pretty close to Vedanta. So many of the concepts are a little closer to Vedanta, and we can also find Nature quoting a lot from Yoga Sutras. Balakrishna Nair also has quoted from Yoga Sutra once or twice that I have listened to. So Yoga Sutra, Yoga is a different darshana. It's an entire altogether different darshana than Vedanta. So we find in Brahma Sutra many places arguments. So Vyasa as well as Shankara and others attack Yoga Shastra thoroughly, like in a way thoroughly we can say. Yoga Darshana is kind of like based on the sutras. We can in a way say the other way around. Yoga Darshana has been explained by Patanjali, Maharshi Patanjali, in Yoga Sutras. The Yoga Sutras are explanation of the Darshana or the philosophy called Yoga. So in Vidyaranya's big work of Sarva Darshana Sangraha, where he gives a summary of like many darshanas while arranging each of them in higher order as progress, we can in a way say, and towards Vedanta, Advaita Vedanta, we can find that Yoga comes very top of the list. I think just before Vedanta, Yoga comes. So Yoga is kind of very close to Vedanta in Aparokshanubhuti, as well as many other works we can find Shankara and many other Acharyas also accepting the Ashtanga Yoga, the sadhana of Ashtanga Yoga. Ashtanga Yoga Sadhana, they accept. So there are only some differences. So those differences need not be considered as kind of like very big. So we will see the Yoga Sutra from a Vedantic perspective so that we can benefit out of it. So a sadhaka should always be asking the question. So asking the question as to how this will help me. How this is going to help me. Where will I stand with respect to this? If I do something, do I get the ultimate benefit? So benefit, there are different types of benefits. We can get like simple benefit, we can get complex benefit, we can get swarga, we can get even more than that, Brahma, we can become Brahma. So what sort of benefit we are talking about here? The ultimate benefit is moksha, which is of the nature of eternal bliss. So, Purna Dukkha Nivritti and Ananda Prapti. So, Purna Dukkha Nivritti, it is not temporary Dukkha Nivritti, it is complete Dukkha Nivritti, and at the same time Ananda, where a person is able to rejoice in bliss. So, that is the ultimate goal. So, how can we get that goal from Yoga Sutras? So, we can get that when we understand it from a Vedantic perspective. So, from a Vedantic perspective. In Vedanta, Yoga, what is Yoga? Yoga means Samatvam. Siddhya Siddhyoho Samobhutva Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. A person who is beyond good and bad, beyond all duality, and a person like he's maintaining samatvam, samabhavam. That means equanimity, seeing everything as one Brahman. That is yoga. So yoga is seeing everything as one. That is yoga. And what obstructs this seeing everything as one? So that is the first thing, like that it will be defined, or that is defined by Patanjali. So the first sutra is Atha Yoga Anushasana. Thus, yoga is being explained. Yoga is being explained. So we can consider yoga as what Patanjali says as Kaivalya, or we can consider yoga as Samatvam, as Anandam. So all the darshanas are directed towards bliss or Anandam. So sam dukkatre abhigata tat abhigata apagate hetav drishtesa aparta che vyakta vyakta avyakta jna vijnana. So here this is the Sankhya Karika of Ishvara Krishna. So there it is, like dukkatrayam, getting rid of dukkatrayam, that is the purpose of life. And for that what can happen? Knowledge. So knowledge leads us to that, so we start. So all darshanas based on the same ultimate goal, whether they attain and all, that is a kind of a, that we can say that it is not the case, only through Kaivalya Bhava. So Kaivalya Bhava means Kevala Avastha, absolute state. That absolute state where there is only oneness there, wherever duality is there, there is no absolute, it's relativity. Wherever absoluteness is there, non-duality, that is what gives us Ananda. That is what gets rid of Dukkha. So that yoga, that Kevala Avastha, that state of non-duality, that is going to be explained. So what is yoga? Yoga chitta vritti nirodha. So these sutras, so there are some people might say that these sutras should not be seen from a Vedantic perspective because they are a different darshana, and there have been people who have commented on it. So that doesn't matter. So like we say a few things. We say this is right, that is right. There have been acharyas who have refuted other acharyas. So that tradition and all continues. We should not go by what others will think or what others will say. What matters is whether we are able to progress towards the goal of moksha. If we are able to progress towards the goal of moksha, then our purpose is served. Until then, until moksha, until anandam is there, we will be suffering again and again. And that is what Patanjali beautifully puts as klesha or klishtam. So klesha, obstacles or suffering. How many types they are, so that will come. So, Atha Yoga Anushasanam, what is yoga? Yoga is Chitta Vritti Nirodha. Chitta Vritti Nirodha means yoga. So, Nirodha means getting rid of Chitta Vritti. Vritti means thoughts. Thoughts of the mind. That is yoga is getting rid of the thoughts of the mind is yoga. So, yoga is what? Chitta Vritti Nirodha. So, we can see, we can understand that like a thoughtless state. So in meditation we are kind of peaceful, we are calm. In deep sleep, we are peaceful, we are calm. Why? Because there are no thoughts. When thoughts are there, what happens? Duality comes in. When thoughts are there, duality comes in, and that's where the problem comes. Thoughts are generally based on duality, or thoughts focus on duality. That is why getting rid of thoughts of the mind is yoga. But we have to kind of, in a way, like we have to change the sutra a little bit. So it's not chitta vritti nirodha, all the vrittis of chitta. But it is the dvaita vritti or dvaitam, whatever dvaita is considered as real. Dvaita satyatva vritti nirodha, we can see. Or dvaita bhava virodha, chitta. That chitta, which is devoid of dual notion or duality in it, or seeing duality, perceiving duality as real. So that is called as yoga. That chitta is in yoga. Yoga means it's not that thoughts should not be there. It's that thoughts should not be about duality. That means thoughts should be non-dual. Thought, like we can put it a little different also. Thoughts which doesn't obstruct non-dual state of the mind, they are fine. So thoughts which affect the non-dual state of the mind, Advaita Bhava, which is countered, that is overpowered. Like they are to be removed. So what vritti to be removed? That vritti which obstructs non-dual bhavana, brahma bhavana, samatva bhavana, that which does that, that has to be got rid of. So that has to be got rid of. Okay, that has to be got rid of. Then what is the way? Can we directly jump to like, oh, everything, I'll remove everything just by brahma bhavana? No, you have to practice sadhana. You have to practice first controlling the thoughts of the mind. The mind is such that like thoughts will come in. Thought will come in, like whether we want or not, that's a different thing. Thoughts come in, thoughts will come on like regularly. Thoughts will come, thoughts will go. We cannot control it. There is no control absolutely. So that control has to be God. So that is where Ashtanga Yoga, that Patanjali says in the second chapter, continues in the third chapter, they are helpful. So there, we have to know how to control the thoughts. Thoughts have to be controlled. So that controlling of thought is required. And then what can we do? Then like make one a primary. If we have control, so five children are inside a room. And then like, or like, let's say like we go into a 50-student classroom. So we want to choose a leader. A leader who can control others. But the leader, like if we have to choose a leader, first we should be able to control all of them. So one person is saying, I will be. The other person is saying, I will be. We are not able to control at all. Everybody is jumping and shouting, throwing something. So if there is people, the entire students are not under control, then we cannot choose a leader. So if we have to choose a leader, first we have to control all of them. So once we gain control, how can we control? Can we control like just being there like in a 50 student room, we all of a sudden go in and control them? We cannot. So we cannot control them all of a sudden. So first remove all of them. Then let them come through. Watch them, watch thoughts coming into the mind and remove them. If we are able to remove all thoughts, then we can control them. So controlling means like we can, if we are able to remove, of course they come automatically. But if you are able to remove, that means we can either remove thoughts or we can put thoughts to the background. Putting thoughts to the background is not like removing. If a student is like so much disturbing in the class, throw him out of the class. Or a little bit okay means then put him in the background. Put him in the background. But like if we put him in the background first itself, like what will happen? He will trouble a lot. So first throw him out of the class. Say, tell him to stay outside the class. And then the next time what can you do if he does again, you can just put him in the background, it will be fine. So first we have to learn to control the thoughts of the mind and then remove thoughts. Chitta vritti nirodha, that thoughts which obstruct advaita bhavam, that thoughts which take us away from Brahman, that thoughts which make us dwell on duality and thinking that duality is real. Thinking that duality is real, the world as we see is not real. It is just an illusion, it is not real. It appears as real, it is not real. So that which is not real, on that we should not dwell upon. So we can like we can see the world, we can experience the world, all those fine, but we should remember the world to be not real. So not real. So all thoughts which focus on the world to be real, which means all thoughts which obstruct remembrance that Brahman alone is real, they are to be removed. They are to be removed. So what happens if we don't remove them? Or like what if we remove them? So that is what Patanjali beautifully says in the third and the fourth sutra. So he says, Tada drashtuhu swarupe avasthanam. Tada drashtuhu swarupe avasthanam. Tada means tasmin kale, which kala, which time? Yoga. In tasmin, like we can say yoge. So in yoga, when our mind like is in yoga. So yoga, like when our mind is very calm. So yoga means samatvam. Samatvam means advaita bhavam. So if that yoga is there, at that time what happens? Drashtuhu, the seer. The seer is who? Seer is what Vedanta calls it ahankara. That ahankara, who is ahankara really? Ahamayam kuto bhavati chinvata aipatatyaham nija vicharana. Ahaminashabaj ahamahantaya swurati hrit swayam paramapurna sat. So ahankara, try to find out what is the source of the ahankara will vanish and what remains behind is the aham swurana. That is sat, that is pure consciousness. So that pure consciousness,
സ്വരൂപേ അവസ്ഥാനം തഥാ ദ്രഷ്ടുഃ സ്വരൂപേ അവസ്ഥാനം. വി കൻ ഇൻ എ വേ ഇന്റർപ്രറ്റ് ദിസ് ആസ് തഥാ അഹങ്കാര ഇസ് അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ടൈം അഹങ്കാര വിൽ റിമെയിൻ ഇൻ ദ ആത്മൻ. So which means ahankara doesn't exist, which means the atman alone exists. That means what happens, we'll be able to ever rejoice in bliss. Oh, then if ahankara vanishes, then who does actions? So we can put it a little differently. So we can say ahankara is still there, ahankara is still doing his activities, but we get identified with the ahankara. So we get identified, I as the drashtu, what do I identify with? I identify with the Atman, then everything else continues like a dream. In the dream, we are inside the dream. So we enjoy the dream like when we know it is a dream. Else like we become so identified with the dream, the main character in the dream, then what will happen? We'll get affected, we will sweat, we will immediately shout out, and all those will happen. So I become identified with the self. Swarupa means Atman or Brahman. That Brahman nature, when we are identified with, when we are Brahman, then the entire world is like a marichi jalasannibham. So this world becomes like a water scene in desert. It appears, but that doesn't matter. Whether it appears or not, it doesn't matter, because it is not at all there. And if we are if we are abiding as Brahman, then we will not get affected, irrespective of whether the world is seen or not. So then we will be able to ever rejoice in bliss. So yoga, so this state means kaivalya avastha. It is kaivalya avastha. It is kevala avastha, we can say. Kevala avastha. We differentiate ourselves and we become our natural abode. So this natural state is nijavibhanakam. Aham apetakam nijavibhanakam. Aham apetakam. The getting rid of this aham or ahankara, then what remains behind? Nijavibhanakam, that which shines naturally. Nijam, nijaswarupam. So swarupam means vasyarupam. What is our real nature? Our real nature is not this ahankara, not this body, not anything else. Why? Because all those keep changing. All those keep changing while we or I remain exactly the same. I remain exactly the same irrespective of whether these external things change or not. And that I, that swarupam, nijaswarupam, that, like we will abide in that state, and that is called yoga. That is called yoga. Yoga, or like we can in a way say the state of mukti, is when we are abiding as the self, abiding as Brahman. So then is the world there? Will activities be there? Activities, ahankara is still there, the body is still there, actions will go on. Everything will happen, but we will be able to ever rejoice in bliss. Whatever happens in the external world, we will be able to ever rejoice in bliss. There will be only bliss. There will be only bliss. That is a state of yoga. So yoga, like when we use the word yoga itself, it means like kind of a peaceful state. A yogi is one like who is peaceful, from whom light comes. So light, the more and more ignorance we have, the more and more we are away from the Atman, we don't get any light. There is no light, we become dark. We become dark and we'll always be sad, like some or the other problem will be there. Some or the other problem will be there for us. But the moment we attain this yoga and we become a yogi, then that yogi, sayogi, sarvatha vartamano pi sayogi mai vartate. Sarvatha vartamana. He is in the present state. Present state means the past is, he doesn't worry about the past. He doesn't worry overly about the future. He is ever blissful. Ever blissful. So most of the time what happens, most of the time we get, these thoughts come into the mind. When thoughts come into the mind, when we are not able to control them, then we become affected by them. And then we become sad. So how do we get affected by thoughts? Okay, this dual thoughts come into the mind. So what big problem? So dual thoughts come. So even a jnani sees the world, he experiences the world like appears as existing. So what is the difference between a jnani and a jnani? So that's why Patanjali says, vritti sarupyam itaratra. Itaha, itaratra. Itaratra means other times. So when the yoga avastha is not there, when a person is not in swarupam, when a person is not abiding as his own self, then other times, those times, vritti sarupyam.
Vritti Sarupyam means identification with the vritti. A person becomes identified with the vritti. Or the mind gets identified with the vritti. Of course, the mind is where the ahankara is, so which means I get identified with the vritti. In one way or the other way. So, I getting identified with the vritti means what is that? It means when we see something, we get identified with it. We get identified with it. How do we get identified with people or objects? So, we say, this is my friend, this is that, that is this. How do we say? We say that because the thought comes to our mind. So, when we see something, we capture it in our mind. When we capture it in our mind, then we become identified with it. So, because we get identified with it, because the nirodham doesn't happen. The nirodham, like we can say, nirodham has, like as we said, nirodham has two parts. Thoughts can come into the mind, but the main thought should be the thought of Brahman. Nothing should obstruct that thought. No other thought should obstruct the thought that Brahman alone exists. Brahmaiva. Brahmaiva jagat sarvam. So whatever is there is that Brahman, that thought that sarvam brahmamayam should be there in the mind. So if that thought is there, all other thoughts coming and going, we won't get identified. Because this thought is there. So if somebody is seen, like somebody comes and like introduces themselves to us, they say, hi, how are you? And all those. And then we get identified. What do? We say, this is my friend. Oh, you are so good. I am glad to be able to meet you. And afterwards, what happens? We get affected when the person says bad things about us behind our back. But if this thought of Brahman is there, if this yoga avastha was there, then we will not be affected. People come, people go. So it is like we are sitting in a bus and then people come into the bus, people go outside the bus. What does it matter? We are not affected. So many people, like we get into a stop, our stop is like after 1 hour. Within that span, like so many people get into the bus and so many people get down. We are not affected. We are not affected because we are not identified. So there the identification is not there because we don't know the person. So here, in like Vedanta or like in real case, in yoga avastha, there is no identification because we know that it is just agama paino adityaha. They are coming and going. So coming and going means the thoughts come into the mind, thoughts go. People and objects come and go. This world is anityam asukam lokam. Lokam anityam shokamayam. This world is filled with sorrow. It is filled with sorrow. So if we know that, then we won't get identified with the world. So let the world be experienced. Let the world be there. Everything, all activities, let them go on. It doesn't matter. We won't get identified. So we won't get identified because the nirodham, those thoughts, nirodham like in a way means dvaita satyatva bhava nirodham, you can say. Nirodha. So yoga chitta vritti nirodha, yoga. What is yoga? Chitta vritti nirodham, yoga. Dvaita satyatva bhava chitta vritti nirodha, we can say. That vritti, that chitta vritti which is of the nature of dvaita satyatva bhava, or it means which is saying that duality is real or non-duality is not there. That thoughts when they come into the mind, then we will get affected. Then we will get like affected. If those come, dvaita satyatva bhavam comes into our mind, then we will get affected. But if we have advaita bhavam, then we will be able to ever rejoice in bliss. So swarupa avasthanam, swarupe avasthanam. We will abide as our own self. And the natural state is always the blissful state. Natural state is always the blissful state. It is because we are not able to be in the natural state that we experience sorrow constantly. So constantly we experience sorrow because we are everything except the self, except Swarupa. We analyze everything in the world. We know everything in the world. We learn everything in the world except our own very nature. Our own very nature of Brahman. That has to be remembered. That has to be analyzed. When we do that, we'll be able to ever rejoice in bliss. It doesn't matter whether thoughts come or go. Thoughts may come and go, but vritti sarupyam will not happen. So yoga doesn't necessarily mean like vritti coming into the mind or a mind without thoughts. If there is a mind without thoughts, like then like, there is no world at all. Is there any time like when that can happen? Then the only way is we'll have to wait till Shiva does Tandava Nartyam and destroys the entire world. And then what will happen?
Brahma will again start creation. So only that time frame, within that time frame, maybe half a day, one day, we'll have to exist in order to rejoice in bliss, in order to get moksha. So it is impossible. So what it means is, we won't get identified with thoughts. Let thoughts come, but we will know them to be not real. We will not get identified that we will have the thought that sarvam brahmamayam, tere sarvam brahmamayam. That thought will always be there in our mind. So that is the state of yoga. And this has been explained beautifully by Krishna in many, many shlokas. In the sixth chapter is also an analysis of yoga. But here Patanjali's words are also beautiful. That yoga chitta vritti nirodaha. Yoga is removing the thoughts of the mind. That thoughts which obstruct kevala avastha, which obstruct moksha, that means advaita, any thought other than advaita bhavam, they obstruct. Or considering the world to be real. So other thoughts can come in. But we should not, as a result of those thoughts, we should not consider the world to be real. We should know that this world is anityam asukam. Anityam asukam lokam. So we should remember that then tadadrishtuhu swarupe avasthanam. Then we will be able to abide in our own very natural state. Nitya shuddha, nitya buddha, nitya mukta swarupam. That is our very nature. Very nature is nitya shuddha buddha mukta. Atman. That Atman which is ever liberated, ever enlightened, ever pure. That Atman which is Sachidananda Swarupa. So we'll be able to abide as that. And all other times if we don't do it, oh, I don't want Vedanta Moksha. I don't want Moksha. I don't want this yoga. I don't want Kevala Avastha. If you don't want, then what will happen? You will become identified with thoughts, or you will think the world to be real. You will get identified with the real world, associated with the world, and that will cause only dukkham, because the world is dukkham. So we should always remember that we should aim for the state of yoga, the state of moksha, the state of kaivalyam. Kevalavastha. Kevalavastha means what? Removing all the thoughts that obstruct the main thought in our mind, which is that Brahman alone exists. So not having, not nourishing, or not, like we can say, not qualifying the world to be real. So let the world's thought come into our mind, but not qualifying it with real, or giving it reality status, knowing that it is not real. Then we will be able to abide as our own self, and we will be able to rejoice in bliss. Yoga Sutras have many commentaries, so none are based on Vedanta or Vedantic perspective. The most famous commentary of Yoga Sutra is called Vyasa Bhashya. There are arguments as to whether it is Bhagavan Vedavyasa. Vedavyasa is the one who wrote those Vyasa Bhashya. Some say yes, some say no. So Vyasa Bhashya it is called. Then Vachaspati Mishra's Tattva Vaisharadi commentary is there. It's kind of a tikka on some commentary. And then there is Vijnana Bhikshu's Vartika is there. And then another very popular commentary is Bhoja Vritti. So Bhoja Raja has written a Vritti on Yoga Sutras. So all these commentaries are available. Some are available online. Yoga Sudhakaram of Sadashiva Brahmendra is like kind of a very simple commentary. He was a yogi. So therefore, apt to write a commentary, but he was a Vedantin as well. So Yoga Sutras can be interpreted Vedantically, or like from Vedanta perspective, it's perfect. And the ultimate goal is what is termed as Yoga. So Vedanta also accepts Yoga as that Advaita Bhavam, abiding in that thought, Samatva. Remembering that only Brahman exists here, Advaita Bhavam, that is Yoga. So may Amma bless us so that we'll be able to ever abide in that thought of non-dual Brahman, that I am Brahman, in that Swarupam. And whatever other thought comes into our mind, don't give them reality status. Just put them into the background. Let them come, let them go. Don't give them any importance. Always dwell on the thought that I am Brahman, or Brahman alone exists here. So may Amma bless us so that we'll be able to achieve this state of yoga in this very birth itself. We'll continue tomorrow. Namaskar.